Terrible site. I think we're up to step. Yes. If I recall correctly. Yes. Al Rabo Shiroko Chmasimimenu. And this is what's called the Rebbe Muvak, right? Rabo Muvak. You learn most of your Chachma from him in Mikra Mikra, Mishnah Mishnah, Gemara Gemara. And I think the Pashpat here means you can have more than one Rabo Muvak. You can have a Rabo Muvak for Mikra, Rabo Muvak for Mishnah, Rabo Muvak for Gemara. Okay, it's an interesting question how to translate that nowadays. You know, is after Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, which are Halacha Kaluyos, can it be, you know, Iyun and Halacha? Can it be Hashkafa and Gemara? All right, Yeshlayin. Yeshlayin, Lani Yastaiti. You know, it's certainly mutter to be Machra on this, because even if it's not your Rav Mubak, there are many Shitas to Kriya. So I wouldn't say you're getting into Valtashkas. But in any case, on the Rav Mubak, okay, this is all big machlokas rishonim. Basically, what's the chumra avelos for a rebbe? What's the chumra of avelos for a rebbe? And the Rambam holds that avelos for a rav is kol begadav shmigal libo, as we will see soon enough. And we are familiar with that. It's like a parent. But all the other Rishon disagree with him. Yeshom Rishon Korea Ella Tefach. That it's only a Kriya of a Tefach. That's pretty much all the other Rishon. I assume it's only a Tefach. Be'eino ma'ache li olam. And you can never sew it up properly. Ba'filim yishmur rechoka Korea love the olam. Even if it's a shmur rechoka. Then in this way, basically the question is a Rebbe more like Sharkrovim or more like a parent in terms of how much you tear the Rambam, right? Chof should say Rambam, and the Baragolin it does, says it's like a parent, and the Yeshomer, even though it's only the Yeshomer in the Mechabers, most Rishonim, says only Tefach, Einam Achali Olam, that is like a parent, for sure, but Filimish Ruchoka, Rel Olam also like a parent. So in some ways, we do pass on like a parent, that even if you hear many years later, the Imlo.
The Rambam's like a son here, or the Yeshomer?
Shulchan Aruch is like the stop. Sorry, so according to the Mechaber, and always a Rebbe is like a parent, which makes sense. We have many parallels between Rebbe and parent, right? And the Rebbe even brings it all Hava. The parent only brings it all Hazet. Covenant and Mora of Rav and Covenant and Mora of a parent, etc. So the Shulchan Aruch is, but he brings the Ishama, that most Rishonim disagree about the Atzmi Galus Libo. V'im lo lamad rochach smirneu, and ekoriel lamad ilkadin sharmesim, shumas avalein. But if it wasn't rochach, we just learned a little from him, then it's only like the other mason, go back to the previous couple of seifim. V'afilu lam menu el dover echad bein katan bein gadol. Sorry, I meant, if it's not a rabbi lovach, it's a regular rebbe, then it's only like other relatives. So you don't have this chumrah. Right, only a tefach, and only... Lechori, he means only tefach, and you can be ma'ache, and only within 30 days, like other relatives. Even if you only learn one thing, so basically, here's the two levels. Rav Muvak is like a parent, and the Rav Sheinu Muvak, which is lomet menu el dover echad, is like a different relative. Okay, the Rama, when the Rama says Yesh Omer, that means he passes that way, that even Rama She'inu Mobik is more Chomer than other relatives, and that you can never fully sew it up. Tamicham She'yosh V'yachar Makshim Farkim Zel V'zavulim V'yachar. How about Tamicham learn together? What are they like? Yesh Omer, Shedina K'Rav She'inu Mobik. It's like Rav She'inu Mobik, because they all learn a little from each other, even though none of them are each other's rebbes. Yesh Omer, Shedina K'Rav Mobik. Some people say, no, it's like Rav Mobik. It's not clear why this would be like Rav Mobik. The Echronim seem to understand this is just as a minog lahachmir. The Yesh Omrim, she'ain tzarech lekroya el rabo shalom de she limdo rochach masov al chavir malom zem zel she'heir ein of dover echad ein ol chumer bi alma beichad nog nog mechichad lo nog lo nahug ve'ein morin kein v'lochein nog lahakel dinos elu. Right now he passes like the Maharam. The Maharam of Rittenberg says there is no chi of kriya on rabo she'ein omrim. He says it's only rabo mavak. Rav She'inu Mobik is just like any other regular chacham, and therefore, right, the chavirim lo mizeh, or he taught him one thing, or even he taught him a few things, but he's not a Rav Mobik. is only a chumra bi'alma, right? The Gemara has that the Amorim, they tore on each other, tell me chum bubble tore on each other, and stories Amorim tore on each other. He says that was all a chumra, and where's the minig? Where's the minig? Where's not the minig? We don't tell people they should do it. And therefore, our minig is lahakam dinos elu on Rav Sheino Mavak. Our minig is lahakam. We only care for Rabo Mavak. Okay, that is our minig nowadays, that we only care for Rabo Mavak. Correct. That we don't. Right. Correct. This last Yesh Omrim. Mean this last Yesh Omrim is not just going on Chaver and Lomdim Zebizeh. The last Yesh Omrim is saying this whole thing. Only the part of Rav Mavak is true. The part about Rav Sheino Mavak is we're just not knowing at all. And that's our minhag nowadays. That Rav Sheino Mavak, we're not knowing at all. Which again, you know, which means that you don't care for anyone who's not your Rav Mavak. Again, we had this. We saw this machlokas last Sunday between myself and Rayman. That Rayman said, no, the minhag is just not to tear on any of our Rav Mavak Shalom Yisrael. And I said, no, you have to have some justification. Over here, my Rabbi Rudenberg says, no chiyuv Rav Sheino Mavak. Oh, what if he's just a Talmid Chacham? So in Zayin, you have the kul of the Shach, that that he doesn't even Seches Kala. But if someone knows, you learned a little from him, and he even knows Seches Kala, maybe there's no halacha justification, okay, the Menagol of Nebrach was like Ray Man, that even though there's no halacha justification, they don't care for anyone but Rav Mavak. Even though, you know, it, that's a big chiddush.
So they would have taught it that Rabin would prepare for their specific, right? Rebbe thinks that like the Rabin and Bnei Brak, everyone that did tear for a time would have sworn for like their Rebbe, their
Rebbe. I don't know. The truth is, I have no idea.
Another way to set the evidence.
Yeah, I have no idea. People even tear for Rabin Mavak nowadays. I've seen people tear for Rabin Mavak nowadays. Meaning when I was at, you know, Rav Lichtenstein's Levaya, so I was telling them tear. At Rav Avadya's Levaya, I saw the Sfardim tear. I've seen people tear for Rav Mavak.
Could some of them have torn the Shashmua thing?
I mean, maybe everyone in Bnei Brak tore on Friday.
Or also...
Okay, like, that, I wonder about that. Yesh Lion.
People were like further in who like, I like...
Right, okay. Tzarchim, that's a good point. So I don't know, maybe the real Bnei Brak, maybe we never saw the real Bnei Brakers. Okay, I'll leave this to Tzarech Ion. Anyway, but Lamaisa, we Ashkenazim, we follow the Ramah, and we don't tear for Rav Sheino Mavak, only for Rav Mavak. Okay, there's some svaras, which I haven't seen the post-Kim Hilchos Avelos say. Maybe nowadays we don't even have a Rav Mavak, because everyone learns most of their learning from Svarim, etc. I mean, it could be that there might be someone who's no Rav Mavak, maybe. Like, you never learn anything from Rebbeim. I don't know. He was an oral didact. But I think, you know, the Maisa, our minig is that I think it would be proper that someone should tear. If they have a Rav Mavak, they should tear for their Rav Mavak, at least. The one thing that's pointed out here by the Taz is that Kasav Rukech, Rav Shalom Duchachma, and here we mean a L'chor Rav Mavak, Yoshev Olav Yom Echad HaShachas Avelos, there's also one day of Avelos. Not just Kriya for Rav Mavak, we say Mixim Kikulu, that's what he says, one day or one Shah, but it is important to know there's also a little bit of a Velos, or other Minhagim, you can find there in the real discussion of this is not here, but is in Hilchos, Kvot Tamidich Chachamim in Simon Reish Mem Beis, which I don't have with me right now, but if you look there, Sif Chaf Hei, you'll see the whole discussion. Now let's go back to Krovin, okay, because Krovin we really aren't knowing. Right, back to Sif Tes, things that are the minhag nowadays. Al kol amezik v'er elav tefach v'begad el yom v'dayivel av v'imo k'rei kol v'gadar filo v'lovish asarach v'galo v'imo. Okay, here's the first and perhaps most fundamental and far-reaching difference between other relatives and parents. On other relatives, you just tear a tefach of the outermost garment, while on av v'imo, the person has to tear all his garments, even if he's wearing 10 of them, until he's megalos lipo, which is a double, meaning more garments, all the layers, plus more than a tefach. Achigos lipo is literally until under his heart. So he literally tears till he reveals his heart. V'im lo kar kol v'gadav lo yotza, and if he didn't tear for av imo all his layers, he's not yotze. We'll mention Sifyud, which layers count as layers. And as long as he's wearing that clothing, we tell him to tear for his parents, even after Shloshim ends, the chiyuv does not expire. The chiyuv lasts forever for parents. We'll see, unlike later on, with Shar Kovim, if someone didn't tear and the Shiva ended, then it's too late. The chiyuv just disappears. But the parents, it's forever, and the chiddush here is, even if they tore one layer, the chiddush of the other layers is forever. Here I saw in Rav Sternbach, Rav Sternbach has in Chilek Dalid, Simon, I think it's Reishai and Dalit. One second, printed it out. Simon, Reishai and Dalit of his Chuvas van Hagos. That's Rav Sternbach's Shutz. He has just Ha'orot, Shirom, and Hilchos Avelos. And he doesn't really understand this phrase. If you go back to the Rishon, it was a little hard. What do you mean only if that Beged is on him? If he takes the Beged off, then he becomes Pater? So he thinks that that this phrase is labdavka. He has a few shots, and one of them is that, hey, yeah, it means better to tear this clothing, but if not, he still has to tear clothing because he hasn't been Yotze Kriya yet. So Rav Sternbach thinks that it's labdavka. That really is not to do with that clothing's on him or not. Just better to tear the original clothing, but you have to tear some clothing and at some point to be Yotze in the midst of Kriya.
Does it have to be while it's on the person? No, it only counts
if you tear clothing while you're wearing it. Fine. You can't tear it on the table, like while it's folded up in a pile. No. It's very unclear. Most of the Mefarshim really don't pay any attention to this phrase. Calls man sha'oso beged a love. The pashup shot sounds like something very radical, which again, you don't get the impression of any of the poskim. Whatever clothing you're wearing, b'shas chimam, remember this magic thing called shas chimam? I don't literally mean magic, I mean halachically relevant. Whatever clothing you're wearing, b'shas chimam, the chiyuv is only in that clothing. Other clothing, you have no chiyuv anymore. That would be very radical and does not seem to be pashup shot, not much more of any of the poskim, even though that's what this line. So it sounds like, only the clothing you're wearing at the moment of kalos chiyuv are chayuv. And if you decide never to wear the clothing again, then you're pater. You know, you sell that clothing and you're pater forever. Sounds a little.
And by parents, even if you're machlif, you rip the new one. So.
And by parents, even if you're machlif, you rip. Okay, but at least after Shiva, you're pater forever, right? Because you only have to machlif during Shiva, rip the new one. What I thought maybe you could say, a bit of a pshara, is that no, that clearly zechi of kriya, meaning. Again, Rabbi Kiva Inger's lashon here is a little tricky. He even says this phrase, "Kolan shel sobeged lo by other kovim." But it's hard if someone didn't tear at all. It's hard to imagine that if they just change their clothing, they're never chayv to tear. Lachor the chiv kriya, the chiv on the gavra, not a chiv on the chetza of clothing. So maybe which is why Rishdermov says, yeah, this whole thing is lav davka. But maybe you can make compromise. You can say, no, the chiyuv is a chiyuv gavra, you have to tear. You know, even if you throw this, if someone never tears and throws the clothing in the garbage, they still have to tear different clothing. Maybe it means here, dafka, because he started tearing, he didn't finish. He was wearing two layers and tore the outer layer, not the inner layer. Then he already did the mitzvah of tearing, he just didn't complete it. Maybe in that case, the chiyuv to be mashlim the kriya is only on that chefza and not on a different chefza. So maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. Again, this is a funny line in the Shulchan Aruch, and really, I haven't seen anyone talk about it other than Rav Sternbach. Most people just, and what's funny is that if you look in the Rishonim where this comes from, right, the Rush who's quoting, et cetera, he says, it's like someone who got clothing later has to tear, so too here, he has to tear later. Someone who got clothing is not wearing the same clothing, got different clothing. So it sounds here like you should have to wear even different clothing. So the formulation is very tricky. Again, I'm not sure what to make of it. Lemaisa, I think Sternbach's right, that it's a chiv gavra to tear, that I think Avil has to tear at some point. Whether it's the same clothing or different clothing, maybe the Shulchan Aruch here just means by this phrase, it's not the Shulchan Aruch, he's quoting the Rishonim, he's quoting the Rush, he's quoting other Rishonim. Maybe what he just means is that that if he started Kriya and he did enough of a Kriya for a different relative, he just wasn't mashlim the special Kriya from the emo, that Kriya to finish the Kriya is only to finish on the begadim he started with. And maybe that's why it would only be if you wore those clothing, if you wore that clothing.
What was the mocker for the Shema?
Chilek Dalit, some Rishayin Dalit.
Is the reason why the all the begotten by parents is because that's the way to be the Galilevo?
That is a, I mean, that is a great question because we'll see later on that it's not necessarily ma'akev to be actually megalas libo. For example, a woman in the old days could tear the inner layer, turn it around and tear the outer layer. So she's never megalas libo, yet she still bothers to tear both layers. Don't tell me just tear one layer because it's nias. No, she tears both layers, but she's never megalas libo. So obviously we see here that the megalas libo is not necessarily davka. That seems to be a good proof that megalas libo is not necessarily davka. That megalas, you know, seems to be a good proof of megalas, and I'll give you a second proof of megalas libo, not necessarily davka. The Rishonim don't say it has to be on the left side, right? I know the Achronim do, but the Rishonim don't say it has to be on the left side. So obviously megalas libo is not davka. It really just means all the layers and a deep tear. So that's the pashup shot.
And if a person is big as they are, so you want to do that.
And again, the person doesn't tear big days there, right? And no one, that never bothered anyone, right? So pashup megalas libo is not davka. If you want to make a davka, you'd need a lot of lumdas to answer up all these rayas, because many of these rayas are like mukhruf, like mefurish gemaras or mefurish al rishonim. So or mefurish many rishonim. So pashup megalas libo is not davka. Okay, but that brings up, there's a few things I want to discuss. One of them is what I just mentioned, that the Berengola here quotes the Maharshal, Lashon, Maharshal, etc. The Shach here quotes the same Maharshal in Sivkat Yotes, and the Taz quotes the same Maharshal a little later in Sivkat Vav, three Sifim later. Everyone quotes the Maharshal. This is the Minhag of Maharshal. I don't think the Maharshal invented it. Maharshal said, no, obviously it was a Minhag in the days of the Maharshal, maybe from before the Maharshal, but we don't have this Minhag in the Rishon. He says, Nagu, that on parents, here on the left side and on other relatives on the right side. Why? Because this Indian about Shegalas Libo. Again, it seems to be a minhag, because I'll be strict halacha, Yegalas Libo is lavdav, it just means all the layers. But at the very least, al pi minhag, we take Yegalas Libo more literally, and therefore the heart is on the left. So from here, you turn on the left. So why for Sharkro when you turn on the right? Well, Chorik is all mitzvahs. Kriya is a mitzvah. It's not a happy mitzvah, but it's a, it's still a mitzvah, and all mitzvahs we do on the right, unless there's a reason otherwise. So for other krovim we do on the right, because all mitzvahs are on the right, unless there's a reason otherwise. For parents, we do on the left, because ad shegalas libo, but it's important to note, first of all, someone quotes that the Maharil, yeah, the Tosfos, the Maharil didn't have this minhag. Okay, it doesn't matter, we do have this minhag. Right, so already the Maharil didn't have this minhag, who was a little before the Maharshal. Okay, but I mean, the Maharshal had this minhag. That's when the minhag conveyed Maharshal till now, and it's important to know that the Shach and Dedar is only a minhag, it's not Medina. If someone tears on the wrong side, it's not a big deal. It's only a minhag to the Maharshal. And obviously, chachila, we respect minhagim. I don't mean we should be reformed. But if someone tore on the wrong side, then it is not a big deal. Matter of fact, Shach and Masopek, maybe even if they tore once, they want to add, they don't think Makra on the right side because, you know, it's not such a big deal. But Lamaisa, if they tore on the wrong side, it's not a big deal. Okay, I admit I once officiated a funeral and I accidentally tore for a sibling on the wrong side because I was just, went from the kids to the sibling and I forgot to switch sides. I remember not to go so far down, so they can't sue me for nezek. Not that they would anyway now, because we just throw it out. And once you tear it, you tore it. Like, there's no Indian to do it again. It's only a minute. Okay, but now I remember not to make that mistake again.
It's not Medina on either of them.
It's not Medina on either of them, correct. It's not Medina on either of them. It's just like, it's hard to imagine why you wouldn't do this minute. It's like, it's easy enough. But if for some reason you couldn't do that side, do any side you want. I just like can't think of a circumstance where you couldn't do a particular side. I don't know if there was something wrong with their hands or something, you could only reach one side, then do what you can. But it's not a common case. Okay, but that's a minhag, but it's a serious minhag that we differentiate right and left side, in addition to the two halachic chilukim of the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, which is how far down and how many layers. Let's just review one or two other things. The big discussion in the Pesachim Tshuvos of Katan Ches is, are all the layers for parents ma'akev? That's before it's in Shulchan Aruch. All the layers for parents are all the layers from Prince of Akiv, right? That's Gorin Bo until he does all the all the different layers. But the question is Begit Elyon for Sharkrovim Akiv? What if Sharkrovim someone tears Begit Tachton? Let's say they're wearing a shirt and a sweater, and they only tear the shirt, or whatever combination you want to come up with. So what if they only tear the Begit Tachton? Are they Yotzei B'di'evet, or do they have to tear again the Begit Elyon? So that is a big machlokas. Basically, everyone in small print on the page has something to say about this. If you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, Ches says, the Ginas Radim says, B'di'evet, if you didn't tear the Begit Elyon, meaning tear the Begit Tachton, you Yotzei. Okay, Ginas Radim put on the Yotzei side. Kachos Rav Perach Mati Aaron, second person on the Yotzei side. Let's look at someone else in small print, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He says, the Imkar Begit Tachton lo yatsa v'tzarech likro ha'elyon shuvas toris chetet simen nun hei avol shuvas perach matei aron kasav the yatsa. So he adds one name on the lo yatsa side, the toris chesed, and a name we already knew from the yotze side. How about the Gilyam Arsha? Ubidiyevin Imkar Tachton yatsa kineses hagdola. Okay, a third name saying you're yotze ubidiyevin, the kineses hagdola. But we see there is a machlokitz about this. Lemaisa in the, I don't really know how it happens. Like, why would someone accidentally tear the Begit Tachton? It's awkward to tear the Begit Tachton. But if someone would, then the Bnei Yeshochan here paskins, he says, no, the majority of everyone I'm saying, or you'll say, not to mention accident, it's a dinner rabbanon. So Lemaisa, we paskin that your Yotzi, but the Bnei Yeshochan says here, Sukkot and Kuftalit, most of the Manri Alocha Avilas Farm don't discuss this because it never happens. But if you don't say that you tore the Begit Tachton, and therefore, there's a simple divrei sofrim down the Beis Medrash, who even quotes from the Ginas Radim, a little greater length, some other achronim. He said, a woman who it's not sneezed to tear her Begit Tachton, her Begit Elyon could tear the Begit Tachton. I don't think we have that sneezed nowadays. Like, if a woman's wearing a sweater and a shirt, why is it not sneezed to tear the sweater and leave the shirt? Maybe a different standards of sneezed in those days. So I don't really see that. I mean, that's what we see, that the mainstream of the Achronim that you're Yotzei with Begit Tachton. It's only the Chachila to do Begit Elyon. Okay, there is at least one opinion, the Toras Chesed. It says Likuva, but we don't paskin that way. The Gilyam Arsha here makes another point, which is a little controversial. He quotes the Kesef Gedola, V'rashay lefshot ha-begit shalovish v'omchasol ha-globosh achar l'kriya afmeis aviv Kesef Gedola. Let's say someone's wearing really, really expensive clothing they don't want to tear. They can change into cheaper clothing and tear that. Again, chiv gavra, not chiv chetza. No, he says afilu afmeis aviv. Let's say someone's wearing a brand new $1,000 suit. Then they can change into their old suit that's a little worn and tear that in order to save money. This is controversial in the Pnei Baruch, which I didn't bring here. That's the art school book in chapter 1, footnote 46. He quotes a gazillion achronim on each side of this, whether that's mutter, whether that's aser. Maybe it's a bizayon, maybe other, it's a bizayon, a mace. You change it to cheap clothing to tear. The mice of the Gesher Chaim says you're allowed to change your clothing, and that's the minhag olam. That would be permissible to change into not so nice clothing in order to do kriya.
We're not worried about not being shas chima anymore.
No, I think he's talking about in the shas chima. That's a good question. Meaning, let's say you're wearing nice clothing at the funeral. Could you wait till you get home from the funeral? It's not shas chima, but then change. I don't think that's what he meant. I think he meant if it's within the shas chima, let's say achi yistom agolo, right? It's all one big shas chima. Let's say you're waiting for the funeral. Let's say you just heard if you change in 5 seconds, it's still going to be a shas chimam. So I don't think it means you can wait until it's not a shas chimam, but at least within the shas chimam, you can change so as not to lose so much money. Okay, Torah chasam amonon shel Yisrael, and we are we're makel on that. Anything else we have to point out here from the Kalim? Okay, I think that's it for now. Yud. The Gemara says, "Afrak suso ain't no tzarich lekro." Even that's not so pasha, right? The Ravid says maybe it just means b'diyev, but it's not ma'akiv. We pass on the Rishona, even the Chachila. You don't have to tear your afrakeset, I guess, would be the simple form of the noun. Okay, what's the only problem? Nobody knows what an afrakeset means, right? So we're not even sure exactly how many pshatim there are in the, I must admit. Lemaisa, the Aruch says it's an undershirt. The Aruch says it's an undershirt. That is very, very clear. And many Rishonim, maybe most Rishonim agree with him, the Ramban and the Rosh and the Rambam all said it means an undershirt. Okay, so the Aruch, the Ramban and the Rosh and the Rambam all said it means an undershirt. That's a lot of Rishonim. There aren't so many Rishonim in Hilchos Avelos. Says it means an undershirt. However, Rashi says it means some sort of sudar al rosho, a kerchief. Rashi says it means a kerchief, and it's not exactly clear what he means by that. Like, why does Rashi? What about a kerchief makes it pater from kriya? So maybe it's not considered a beged if throws a kerchief chayiv in tzitzis. Not that it's not considered a beged. You throw the gun in it for kaval tumah. That's not considered a regular kind of beged. An undershirt is also a kaval tumah. It's not considered a normal kind of beged, meaning it just doesn't go on your body. But, so maybe Rashi, that's why I said I'm not sure how many sheets are in the Rishonim. Because if I just read Rashi, I'm not going to open the Rashi now. I'll just open the Torah. And the Torah says, Afraksuso enuma, etc., etc. He says, "Pirush Rashi sudar al rosho v'nofel al panav." Ufisha eno malbush eno tzarich lekora. Sounds like ufisha eno malbush because it's not something I wear on my body. Like, yeah, you have to pray on your hat. It's not something you wear on your body. That's what I would have said in Rashi. And then the Aruch and most Rishonim say it's an undershirt. But then he quotes that. Then he quotes the Smag, says, the Sudar HaElyon is only for Tznias, and likewise the Matrona. And what's the Matrona? The Matrona is some sort of coat of some sort. So he understands, and what do you mean, Inul Tznias? It's not what we call Tznias, by the way. I hope you didn't get too confused. He doesn't mean we think of tznias as like not showing your skin, right? Like not being whatever you call it. That's the opposite of what thinking about tznias. This ain't all tznias. It's not to cover your body. This is only for like to be extra fancy, as it were. Or maybe it's extra. You know, I don't know. Suter maybe suter taka is for tznias in the emotional. You know, in the emotional sense, if you cover your head, you have more. Anova, but they mean it's not a normal type of clothing. It's just added, you know, for certain circumstances and purposes. So, but he seems to assume that Rashi is not because it's not on your body. Rashi is because it's not regular clothing. It's just something you wear over your regular clothing for tznias, let's call it. Even though I don't have a good English word of translating tznias. Yeah, nothing to do with, you know, for modesty. Modesty is not going to work in all these cases. The shul mindful is not modest. The two main pshat and what to turn out is that the mice that we show don't, the Rishonim Ashkenaz don't assume Rashi is because it's on your head. They assume Rashi is because it's not part of your normal clothing. It's just an additional item worn for certain circumstances. Let's say tznias means special circumstances. What? A tie pashas, because it's not, I mean, it's an interesting question. What about a tie? I've never seen anyone tear a tie. I always assume that was because, more like the pshat, they don't say Rashi, because it's not on your body. But let's look at this in the Shulchan Aruch. What are the two main pshat? And then I would say the Ashkenazic pshat, that it's some overgarment, and the Sephardic pshat, it's an undergarment. Right, those are the two main pshatim, overgarment or undergarment. So, afraksuso ain't sarch lekor, let's read the mechaber. Yesh marshu begit zeh adavak lebesor, it's an undershirt. right, to absorb the sweat. That's on Dovah Kubsaro. The Yesh Mepharshin, I beg it, Elion, to learn Kafa. It is your Kafa. I wonder if Kafa is related to the, it's not really an English word, a Kaftan?
Okay.
It is an English word, but I'm saying it's not originally an English word. It's originally, I don't know, some Near Eastern language.
We saw it's related to
Kafia. What? Yeah. Oh, maybe it's a Kafia. Kafa is from Kafia. A kafiyah is mamash rashi, it's a suda shal rosho, that's a good one. Okay, Safi will say it's a suda shal rosho, good. Okay, so you can have the arch of rashi. Pashan, a minik, shal, lakra, ha kafal, shal, mesa, feel of the imam, lakra, of the imam, gamachole, shakor, and kambiza. Okay, interesting is Pashan, a minhag, white bread minik, even though he's fardi, he rejects the aruch and the ramban and the rosh and the ramban and goes with rashi that we don't tear the kafiyah. But we do tear the undershirt. That's what the Mechaber said. But says the Ramah, we don't tear the undershirt. And we don't tear the undershirt. We don't tear the overcoat either. Meaning we take two pshatim. Everyone asks, how can we take two pshatim? The answer is they're both logical. Only one of them could be what the Gemara meant. But if they're both logical, they're both true. There could be something the Gemara didn't mean that's also potter. Why? Because it's logical that it's potter. So we Ashkenazim assume we don't know what the Afarkesi means, but it's logical both ways, and not because Rashi's just a kafiyah, good. Not because Rashi's just a kafiyah on your head, because Rashi's an overgarment. Overgarments and undergarments are not regular clothing. Regular clothing is only regular clothing. So what do you tear? He says very pushal. For your parents, everything between your coat and your undershirt. And for other krovim, the topmost layer under your coat. Okay, so far so good. Maury.
Could it be that the Mechaber isn't necessarily rejecting the Torah or the Rabbah that look at Hila versus the
Minig? No, I think he's even look at Hila. He's saying the Minig was Pasha like Rashi. Okay, that's the Minig. Now, what's the big machlokas here? Someone tell me what the big machlokas is about. Or better, what object is machlokas about? You're right. The machlokes about which object? No, the sarbel elyon is no machlokes. Everyone agrees you don't share the sarbel elyon. I mean, the machlokes is the shach pas about the rekel, the rock, right? Now, I'm not a good Yiddish speaker. To the best of my knowledge, there is no word rock in Yiddish, only the word rekel, which is a diminutive of the German rock. Is anyone here a better Yiddish speaker than me, a native Yiddish speaker? I've been led to believe that sometimes diminutives in Yiddish, right? You know, ill is always like a diminutive, right? Meaning a small version. Sometimes diminutives in Yiddish doesn't mean they're smaller than the original German word. It just means that in Yiddish, they only use like the diminutive version of the word, right? Okay, I don't know.
Are you getting now?
What? No, because I'm not a Yiddish speaker. That's just what I've been told. Anyway, there is no rock in Yiddish, to the best of my knowledge, only a rekel, right? People still say rekel in Yiddish. Not people like you. What's a rekel? A rekel is a long suit jacket. A frock. A rekel is a frock, correct. I think technically sometimes people use frock for the Shabbos one and rekel for the weekday one, but that's just somewhat arbitrary. Mantle is not it doesn't seem to be. Mantle seems to be something fancier. Correct. A rekel is a frock. I think it usually means the weekday frock. The equivalent of what we call a suit jacket. I don't think you call a suit jacket a rekel just because in Europe they only wore frocks and not short suit jackets. Until they went to Lita and became modern Orthodox. And from then on it was downhill. So they're arguing about a rock. Now, I can't promise you what kind of rock they're talking about, whether it's the same as our, was the rock the same thing that Hasidim call a rekel nowadays? I don't know. Maybe some historian could find out. But the assumption is more or less yes. The assumption is that when they're talking about the rock, they're talking about suit jackets. And again, lopped off a long frock. It's a thing for a short suit jacket. No difference. The only thing is, a short suit jacket, you don't call a rekel because if you're wearing a short suit jacket, you're modern and you don't deserve to use the Yiddish word. So they're arguing about suit jackets. So what about suit jackets? Are suit jackets the sarbel elyon that they were talking about? Or are suit jackets the beged elyon shetachas hasarbal. Right? So one thing's for sure, less van de polig, like winter coats, like coats for the elements, less van de polig, you don't need kriya then. Yeah, I would say it's not a begging. Of course, a begging to move the Torah. It's even a begging for census. But not for kriya. For kriya, the chiddush of afar ksuso in tzorach lekroa is that only the regular begging is chayav in kriya, not anything with kalos begging. And therefore, everyone agrees that, you know, if you're going to a funeral or the kotel or whatever, you know, and you're wearing a raincoat or a winter jacket or anything you just wear to protect from the elements, everyone agrees that's part from kriya. What? Even for parents. Everyone agrees a coat of protection. I never see anyone tear. I'm sure someone once did, because whatever the halacha is, someone did it anyway. But I never see anyone tear a coat that you wear for the weather. That's clearly the sarvel elyon. As matter, even if sarvel elyon isn't something you don't wear for the weather, but something you only wear for very fancy dress on special occasions. The question is, what about the normal suit jacket, which is part of normal clothing? Or is it? It's sort of borderline, you see the suit jacket. On the one hand, you wouldn't say we walk around all day in a suit jacket. Some people do, some people don't. I happen not to. But we wear a decent amount. And of course, the tricky part is that I wouldn't be surprised if, just like nowadays, depending on what street in Yerushalayim you walk on, some people will say, well, obviously, you know, unless you're like going to sleep or to the bathroom or to take a shower, you're wearing your suit jacket. And other people will say, I only wear a suit jacket if my, you know, if my son's getting married, or if my son's getting married, or that's it, you know, maybe Rosh Hashanah, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if in Europe that was also true. Lemaisa, what do people say about the rekel, the rock? Says the Taz, he has a long thing here, and I don't understand all the Yiddish words. And then he says the Ramah says we don't tear the sarvel elyon. He means the rock, the rekel. And the Masav Ben Yamin says, of course you have to tear the rekel. It's a malbush gomer. The Ramah just may not tear the shul mantle. Apparently, the shul mantle is, again, when he's talking about tznius, it's not clear exactly what he means. Like, he might mean a little bit the opposite of what we mean by tznius. He means to be fancy. We don't have a shul mantle. So anyway, the Masav Ben Yamin says, you do tear the suit jacket. The Taz says, you don't tear the suit jacket. The Shach quotes the Masas Binyamin, and then in the Nekudas HaKesef, he goes back and defends the Masas Binyamin against the Taz. And what does he say? He says, no, the shul mantle, you only wear the shul. That's not a normal clothing.
What is the shul mantle?
It's some very fancy coat that's a king and wear the shul. It doesn't seem to be for the elements, right? For tznius. Tznius doesn't mean the elements. I mean, kol shkem, it's only for the elements. Tznius, it seems to mean fanciness.
It's literally like a safer Torah mantle, but for a person.
Yeah, I mean, because mantle just means a couple. Yeah. Anyways, but what is the Nekudas Kesef says? He says, but a suit jacket? What do you mean? Only bums, only arsim go in the street without a suit jacket. You're a bum if you walk around without a suit jacket. Mapadom. So therefore, it's a malbush gomer. Here it gets very tricky. Exactly, you know, maybe we lived in exactly their time, and so exactly what they meant, we could have more of a hush. It's very hard to know exactly how often did we wear suit jackets, exactly how often did they wear suit jackets, you know, exactly what's the status for our suit jacket copying them to depend who you are, you know, Hasidim have to tear suit jackets, but modern Orthodox people don't, very unclear. The truth is that you don't have to go back to Europe. You know, I think that in Princeton also, you know, if you go back 100 years ago in Princeton, they couldn't go to the dining room for dinner without a suit jacket, right? And nowadays, you're lucky if they're wearing anything. So the world changed. But here it gets tricky because not all welts changed. Okay, it's very confusing. Halacha lemaisa, what do we make of all of this confusion? Lemaisa, what do we make of all these of all of the confusion? It's a big machlok zaposkim ad hayom hazeh. I think most Ashkenazi poskim assume you should tear your suit jacket. But it might depend what community they live in. Halacha l'maisa, what should we do? Halacha l'maisa, I think we should follow the Gesher Chaim. If you ask me, I think we should follow the Gesher Chaim. What does the Gesher Chaim say? He says that for other v'imo, and this I think is for sure that they have, every place I've been, for other v'imo, they tear the suit jacket. Why? Because in other v'imo, you tear all the layers. So you know what? Person born, he only has two parents. Twice in his life, he could lose a suit jacket, right? For other v'imo, they tear the suit jacket and the shirt. And then, Meman of Shach, they're Yotze, from a Hatred, right? If they had to the suit jacket, they did. If they didn't, they didn't. So what I've seen, I think the Minhag Olam is to tear the suit jacket, not what the books say, but the Minhag Olam is to tear the suit jacket for parents. The question is, what about for Shar Krovin? Because the problem is, if you tear the suit jacket for Shar Krovin and it doesn't really count, then you weren't Yotze. If it's not the right kind of begging, you weren't Yotze at all. Then you were just Mavatl in the midst of Kriya. But if you only tear your shirt, then you're Mavatl in the midst of begging El Yom. So, by parents, me and Manashah, everyone I've seen, I'm sure there's someone out there who doesn't tear the suit jacket for parents and says, what do you mean? You wore your suit jacket twice in your life, at your wedding and at your parents' funeral. You're going to call that a begging cover? But at least, place that I've been, maybe by Americans, every place I've been, and even by Israelis, every place I've been, they tear the suit jacket and the shirt for parents. The question is just what to do for star croaking, because there's no safe option. Well, if you tear the suit jacket, because you don't tear both for star croaking. That's what you do for parents, pasash. If you tear the suit jacket, maybe you weren't Yotze Aliba to the Taz. And if you tear the shirt, you weren't Yotze Begit Elyo, which there are some sheeters that are even active, even though it holds mitzvah. Says the Gesher Chaim, he has an Einfall, says the Gesher Chaim, and I think he's giving the best Eitzah. He says, you know what someone should do for Shar Krovin? They should take off their suit jacket and tear their shirt. That way, they're Yotze L'Mahadrin. Take off their suit jacket and tear their shirt. They're Yotze L'Mahadrin. And then they put back their suit jacket back. I don't think anyone says that if someone tore for Shar Krovin, they're not allowed to put something else on top. Okay, maybe someone does say, it's a bit, but most folks here don't think if you put something else on top, you have to tear again for Shar Krovin. One layer that's good enough.
You have to tear Begad Elyon, you can't tear Begad
Elyon. What?
You have to tear the Begad Elyon for Shar Krovin, and then just question if the jacket counts as the Begad Elyon.
If Jackie counts the Begad Elyon, it's a right. Remember we said Begad Elyon, Siftas? Okay, so I think the best dates is like the Gesher Chaim. Get every minute is fine. Someone holds jackets are 100% begad them, they have what to be sold on. Someone holds that jackets are 100% not a Begad Bechlal, they have what to be sold on. Someone holds that it depends what community someone lives in. They also want to be somechan. In a community where you're considered to be a bum, if you walk around in a shirt, then they're passing one way. In a community where you only wear the jacket for davening, they would pass him as a shul mantel. Okay, lemaisa, if someone asked me, I would say that if you're at a funeral, if the kids who are for other the emo should tear their jacket and their shirt, the other relatives should take off the jacket and tear their shirt. And that way, get out of a suffix.
Yeah, then.
Where they would, they're not all Haredim are the same. But meaning, there are plenty of Haredim in America who don't wear jackets very often. I don't know what everyone does in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. Okay, everyone should follow their minute. Okay. That's what I would do if I was the rabbi at a funeral. And what about the kosel? Good question. What about the kosel? The maisa at the kosel, I would do the same thing. Take off your jacket and tear your shirt. That's what I would also do. Take off your jacket and tear your shirt.
It's not really any different than, if it is begging, it's not really so different than changing before.
Correct, which you're allowed to change, right? That's why, again, it's not my idea. It's a Gesher Chaim's clever idea. But I think it's a good idea. Okay, one last machlokes, which is not on the daf at all. Yes.
Just if you normally say wear your jacket open, but you're doing it for your parents, and you want to be ad libo, do you kind of just do it like along the seam? Because it doesn't really cover your heart.
It does. I think what people do is they go like they start from the lapel and they go down like this. I think when you wear your jacket open, it covers your lave more or less. Yeah. Someone here has a jacket and it's open and it looks like it covers his leg. Stand up. Let's see if it still covers your leg. Yeah, I think it still covers your life. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're good. I haven't seen people button it. Okay. But one thing for sure, in the winter, so the winter jacket, that's never poshut. No one thinks. That's even less than a shul mantle.
So that's
perfect. What about a sweatshirt? I wonder about this. Like, where does a sweatshirt go? You mean a sweatshirt like with a zipper above your shirt? Is what you mean. You don't mean someone's wearing a sweatshirt like just instead of a button-down shirt, they're wearing, you know, a pullover sweatshirt. That's just their shirt.
Right.
You mean like they put a sweatshirt on their shirt when it's cool outside. I think that meaning like my kids. My kids, you know, when it's not the dead winter storming, snowy, rainy, etc., you know, between, I don't know, March and April and, you know, September through November, they go to school, it's a little chilly, they put on a sweatshirt. No, I think that sweatshirt is less than a shul mantle. It's only because it's cold outside and it's not a normal bigot. Yeah, I don't think they would wear the sweatshirt.
People wear it in like style.
Yeah. Yes, what do I know? Okay. What?
You just take it off.
Yeah, what do I know? But no one wears a sweatshirt indoors. Part of the getter is they chose you wear it, you know, where do you wear it? People wear sweatshirts.
Ask any kids what it looks like in school, they're all wearing sweatshirts all day long.
So I don't know.
Take
it off. So again, maybe they should take it off to get out of the suffix for Sharkova. Maybe they should tear it for parents.
Would there be a suffix without like more of a sweater, right?
I don't see Maury wearing a sweater. Something wrong with my eyes.
Is he wearing a sweater that he wears today?
Yeah, sweaters are interesting. I saw one thing once say sweaters are only because it's cold, so they're not real begotten. But I'm not convinced of that. I think sweaters are like regular.
Even begotten. If I was wearing a sweater that I do wear sweaters that look good, I would never wear them. like if it was warm in the room, I would always take it off no matter how good it looked.
You used to wear it to look.
But you don't only wear it for sneeze. You, it's a good. You don't only, and you wear it indoors, and you only wear it for sneeze. Anyway, I think sweaters, even though all of these things are machlokes, because if you ask me, I think sweaters are regular clothing.
Back to the probably moment. If I wasn't wearing a jacket, the first thing wasn't wearing a jacket at the Kuro, and then puts on a jacket during show, then he would tear the probably, and then you should come to wear a jacket.
Ooh, that's a discussion. I think I made a note on that someplace.
What thing was the diving jacket down the gun?
One second. Let's come back to it. Okay, let's come back to that soon. Okay, the last thing I want to mention, I don't know why it's not on the page of Shulchan Aruch. I'm mystified why it's not on the page of Shulchan Aruch. What about tzitzis? Talos cotton. What about talos cotton? Is talos cotton a beget? After all, it better be chalos beget if you want to be yotzei tzitzis, right? But is it a big thing in Zeth?
For some people, it's an undershirt.
What?
Let me clarify again, just the undershirt, sackcloth, and mask.
Undershirts are for sure don't count. Now, again, even that, the problem is all these things change. Some people wear they wear undershirts, like, for their shirt. So, but I mean, like, the kind of, a kind of undershirt that, like, you would never wear. It's only under your clothes to keep your shirt from getting too, from getting too disgusting.
The sleeveless ones.
What?
The sleeveless ones. Is that going to catch sweat?
Yeah, or whatever kind. I think it probably depends on the person. Meaning, most like civilized people, they wouldn't go out in their undershirt. They wouldn't even stay in their undershirt unless they were exercising or something, you know, or painting their house or whatever. So an undershirt is putter. And it's just not nechshav b'chav. And therefore, when it's putter, if you do tear it, you're not going to say even b'di
yavet. Isn't that how we wear tzitzis?
So what about tzitzis? So first, that's a good question. So first of all, nowadays, sometimes you combine tzitzis with an undershirt. Which again, assuming that the gedder of beged for tzitzis is broader than the gedder of beged for kriya. I don't know, when I was a kid, you had undershirt and tzitzis and a shirt. That was because when I was a kid, if you were very stark, you had the wool tzitzis. And they hadn't yet invented the new kind of wool tzitzis that is soft. And so you couldn't wear the wool tzitzis on your skin because that was like penance. So you'd wear an undershirt under it. So what about the, or for example, the the Hasidim or the right tallis cotton over their shirt.
But even if you're wearing an undershirt, it's a shirt, it's still an undershirt.
No, because it's not to catch the Zayah, it's to be yotzei the mitzvah. So here it's a trigger. On the one hand, you say, oh, it's only to be yotzei mitzvah, it's not a regular beged. The other, no, the whole point is that we're supposed to put the tzitzis on our beged. So it's, you know, the whole point is that we call it a regular beged. So what do you, this is a tremendous machlokas. Again, I don't know why it didn't make it to the page of the Shulchan Aruch, they had tallis cottons in those days. In the Netziv, in the Shut Meshav Dover, he was the famous that says the tzitzit is potter because only for the mitzvah, it's not a regular garment. And the Maharsham and the Das Torah says, Chayav, what do you mean? It's a beged. That's your main beged. And then if you look in any of the modern Svarim, it just quotes 100 Rishonim in each direction. 100, I'm sorry, in each direction. The line says, the first quote there is that it's tzitzit, and the first Machayav, I don't know if it's the first Machayev, but anyway, the most famous Machayev is the Maharsham and the Das Torah. Das Torah is his parish in Shulchan Aruch. Lemais, the Geshur Haim says, the Minig Olam, and this is the Minig everywhere I've been, is that you don't tear tzitzis. Yeah, we don't consider it a normal beged. Only normal begadim are chayev in Kriya, not chalos begadim.
Or like the Zion? The beged
mitzvah? No, if it's a mitzvah, it's not a Zion.
If a person did tear, can he be used as tzitzis?
That depends how, if he tore it, that depends how far he tore it. Let's say he didn't tear it most of the way, then for sure he can.
Yeah, I'm going to see him be, the whole like the extra fine. For them, it's not, I don't think they wear it outside because of a beged issue. I think it's more of a resums.
No, because they're makbid that it'd be under the frock, and that they don't see it. I'll pee like Sfardim. Right, I'll be there. You're not allowed to see your chalas cotton.
So would they say
that? I don't know what Hasidim and Hagam are, but I think the Hasidim also don't tear because the beged. It's a beged mitzvah, not a regular beged. Even though mitzvah is the most important thing in life, okay, but still. But again, I don't know. I'm not passing for Hasidim. I assume Hasidim and Dafka are very good. Whatever Hasidus you are, you're even Hagam. You know how to do things. A mamish and davening jacket, that really seems like the shul mantle. You know, if someone's mamish a davening jacket, they only wear for davening. Mm-hmm. It's really the shachad mitzvah shul mantle is pasher because you only wear it for davening. So it's hard to mechaye the davening jacket. But again, no one really is a pure dav. I mean, maybe some people do. Most people like they wear the jacket like when they're getting dressed up or for davening. You know, it's what? Yeah, so
that. That jacket becomes like it's davening, and also if you're going to like a bracha from a gadol, like wear the jacket. So it's not just a davening jacket. I think it's really something. Yeah.
Anyway, look, the shach is very clear. Something you only wear for davening is potter, and he's the one with mechayev a suit jacket. So I think a davening jacket you admit is potter. Again, once upon a time, people wore more suit jackets. When I was a kid, regular professionals had to wear a suit jacket all the time, or else you were a blue collar worker. I mean, if you're a white collar worker, you have to wear a suit jacket. Otherwise, you're dressing like a blue collar worker. So that's not true anymore. I think the more casual our society has become, from when I learned Hilchos Avelos, when I was in Smicha till now, the world has become 10 times more casual. So it's harder to say you're chayav to tear a suit jacket nowadays. But I still think it's better to take it off and get on a little spakos. But if someone were to say, look, I'm in the modern Orthodox community, this is not the 80s anymore, they're not the 70s anymore. No one wears suit jackets. And when I was a kid, if you were a white collar worker, it meant wearing a suit jacket to work. Otherwise, you were a construction worker. But very, very different nowadays, obviously. So if someone were to say, no, just forget the jacket legamri, keep it on and tear your shirt. I can hear that also. But the nice, I think the best thing is for parents to tear both and for other relatives to take off your jacket when you tear. Okay, fine. Yodalef. Echon isha, echon isha, shoveling yakriya. Ella, women have the same exact chiyav as men. Ella, isha karas ha-tachton, mechzirotso la-chareva, korechozeres, v'koras ha-elyon. Except that a woman tears her bottom layer, turns it 180 degrees around to the tears in the back, and then tears the top layer, so you never actually see anything because of tzniyus. Okay, there's a big machlok tanaim, but okay, everyone agrees how we pass them. What about, that's talking about she tears all the layers. whatever shar krovim. So the answer is obvious. Your shir krovim, shar krovim, she should go for two layers and only tear the top one, and then there's no tzniyas problem. Again, theoretically, if that would be not so, she called to the bottom one. We saw, but lemaisa, what should a woman do? So we have almost the full solution here. Why do I say almost a full solution? Because for other krovim, let her just wear two layers to the funeral. And meaning the rabbi should tell the women, wear two layers to the funeral. What if she has some sort of undergarments? So the shach says, no, shouldn't reveal her undergarments either. She's wearing two layers, a sweater set, that's what it's called, right? Something like that, I don't know, whatever you call it. Wear two layers to the funeral, and then tear the top layer. And then there's nothing not so new about it, right? What about if it's her parent? Then tear the bottom layer, just turn it around, and then tear the top layer. The problem is that it doesn't work so well for modern day clothing. Once upon a time, in the days of the Gemara of the Clothes, this is the Brisa. In the days of the Gemara of the Clothes, very different. Says there, Hashalcha, nowadays, you can't just turn the bottom layer around. It's not so pashut. I mean, maybe depending what the bottom layer is, maybe sometimes you can if you're very agile, etc. But it's not really such a... Right, it's not really such a great solution. L'maisa, therefore, says there, Hashalcha, big finish. And he has a lot of chorus for this, and not just Bisvara, goes back to the Gemara, says, you know what? For a woman, if you're stuck, let her only tear the top layer, even for her parents. Even though we say that in test that you're not even Yotzei that way. Okay, there are days of the Gemara that women are different, and there's a Yerushalmi, and he has a whole thing, if you want to look at the Urcha Shulchan here, Sif Yud, and he says she can only tear the top layer for parents. The basic rule is that we never do pritzas for kriya. We compromise kriya however much we have to in order to avoid pritzas. You know, there's not necessarily one hard and fast rule, but when push comes to shove, if to be yotzei kriya in the proper way, you would have to have pritzas, then we don't do it. That is the clear directive of the poskim. Now, there are clever things you could do. For example, maybe a woman could tear her bottom layer and then safety pin it, you know, really well, and then tear the top layer, etc. You know, depending on exactly, you know, how resourceful she is. But bottom line, the general minhag olam is that the woman only tears the top layer because we want to avoid pritzas unless, you know, unless she has some other sort of good eitzah. What if she shows up to her other relative's funeral or her parents'? What if she only has one layer? Then what does she do? What if she only has one layer? What does she do? So again, if she can tear in a private room and safety pin it away, there won't be any pritzas whatsoever. Fine. If not, then she does not tear till she gets home. And, you know, understand how to patre. L'maisa, we don't tear if it's going to be pritzas.
Why don't you just tear, like, left, and then deeper layers tear right, and there's no overlap?
I was wondering about that also, right? Because it's only a minute left and right. It's not ma'akev. Like, why don't you tear one layer on the right, one layer on the left, and that would be sort of the equivalent of turning it around. So I have the same question myself. Like, why doesn't the Orchah Shulchan say to do that nowadays? The only thing I can think of is that if you're talking about parents, achi galis libo, even if one's on the right, one's on the left, it's going to still end up being pritzas. Like if you tear on the right all the way to here and on the left all the way to here, even if it's two layers, it's going to end up being pritzas. Now, if you also have safety pins, keep in mind that I don't know if they'd safety pins the Orchah Shulchan days. So, okay. Maybe come with something clever, but lemaisa, what I've seen done is that, you know, again, if you're resourceful, tear one layer, safety pin it, like stretch it an extra 5 inches, safety pin it, so that even though it's not sewn up, you still can't see anything, and then tear the next layer. You can do it if you're resourceful, but, you know, it's complicated, you're taking your chances, etc. So the meaning that I've seen is like the Orcha Shochan.
But even for parents that do not tear the undershirt,
So the Shach says, even revealing the undershirt is pritzas. Now, again, that might depend exactly, you know, what we're talking about, et cetera. Okay, you have to use your judgment.
Is Shach saying in that case, you only tear the top and leave the undershirt, that you should also put the shirt around? Is that what he's mashmah?
No, what he meant is that, I think what he meant is this, is that if she wearing an undershirt plus another two layers, yeah, so she does, yeah. And don't say, why not tear the top two layers, leave the undershirt, because that's pritzas. Like, you know, you have to use your common sense.
How far is that from the valley? Well, where it's kind of one
now. No, where's my heart? Shh. Everyone quiet. Okay, I guess here.
And then is it?
Don't you have a heart? It's right here. No.
No, I'm saying it's not that you rip until the beginning of the heart. You have to reveal the whole.
Yeah, to the bottom of the heart.
To the bottom. Of the
heart. Under the heart. And that's what I'm saying. Then, why didn't the Archon suggest Neil's idea? Because, go down till here on one layer, down till here on the other layer, it still might end up being pre-tastic. We try to be very machinous. Yes.
Why is there a thing, why do we know that it's revealing the entire heart?
I don't know. I don't know. Far. I don't know. Maybe you look in the manual you posted, but I think that's shot in the words. Actually, Yigala means the whole thing, not Yigala mixes libo.
Can we just clarify, about myself, say we're in Rav and someone, we're about to officiate, we should tell women to bring.
We should tell, yes, you should tell every woman to wear two layers to the funeral, absolutely.
And then just rip the top one.
Absolutely. What?
And just rip the top one.
And just rip the top one. Yeah, like the Aruch HaShachar. And for Shaar Krovim, that's Lamahadrin. And for Avraham, it's a bit of a compromise, but, it's probably the best we can do. Okay. Yes.
Is it considered fine for a man to do that, to uncover Ad Libo?
Yes. 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 I mean, Israelis wear their shirts that way anyway. I'm exaggerating a little. Yes, it's considered fine. Meaning, I don't mean it's a jim rechobah to do that in normal days, but for, in special occasions, it's considered fine. Yud beis. I'll call hamesim imratza yud beis. This is machlok tanoim, right? I'll call hamesim imratza minyach tzvasa begit shleima v'koreim ha'asafu l'mata v'yalav b'imo tzarek l'korok. So it's just machlok tanoim, question how we paskin, says the mechaber pas like the Tanakama, for other krovim, you can leave. You know how it's really hard to tear the top seam, right? Because all of our things are like the Bungal's veil, right? It's really hard to tear the top here. So you could just start from here and just go down a tefach. That's for other mason. But for of the emo, you have to start from the seam and from the top all the way down to the under the leaf. However, that's the machaber, but we are Yotzim Yad Rava. Says the Ramavi Yesh Omer Maval Shar Mason Tzorch Lekroa Ha Safa, like Rabbi Yehuda in the Brice of Achino. Again, we pass like the Mordechai, like the town of Rabbi Yehuda, that you always call Kera Shalohim Dol Kami Safa Eino Ala Kera Shal Tiflus. That is Lashon is something along those lines, that you always have to start from the absolute top and rip down. And that is our Minhag. Yud Gimel. Another difference. The Gemara says on all other mason you can tear bifnim. And on Avimo you have to tear bachutz. And there's a machlokes, what it means, bifnim or bachutz. Rashi says it means bifnim in an inside chamber or bachutz in public. And the Ritzkias and the Ramban says, no, it means bifnim like here with your hand inside your clothing, or b'chutz, your hand outside your clothing. And what did the Rambam say? The Rambam said they're exactly the same thing, and they're both true. That it just means, inside visibly or invisibly, either in an inside room or you hide your hand under your coat or under your shirt. That's okay for Shaar Krovim. For appearance, you have to do it publicly so everyone sees you tear it.
Just in terms of the practical reality of the scales, but you have to tear the outermost layer. So it wouldn't matter if you go like this and tear it, if you go like
this and tear it. It's a good question.
Once you work at that, you can hide it.
He didn't say the word you're wearing a jacket. So maybe it's just like how visibly you do it. Anyway, since you'd give a call me shlogo bifnim shlogo bifnim adal figach yesh lahachnas yado bifnim v'korea b'tzina. Aval avvimo einu korea l'bachotz bifnei kol adam. So that he also unites the two things. This is the Rambam. Other, you could do it inside where no one's looking, therefore, it sounds like in a room, therefore you could also put your hand inside your clothing and tear. But for the Avimo, everyone has to see your hand tearing. Okay, I saw in the Bnei Shulchan says, what if there's like a woman who is only one layer and like she can tear it and then safety pin it up, you know, and manage the tzniyas. But as long as no one sees her tear, then even for Avimo, she's allowed to go into the bathroom or in a room and tear. That's the practical solution. But for normal, if she has her two layers and just tearing the top layer, then for other emails, she'd also be outside. By the way, I think that's what they do now what I've seen them do in the funeral parlor in Beit Shemesh, you know, in the American cemetery, is that they have that inner room where the krovim are, like to the front right when you're looking and from the audience, where the krovim are, and then they come out for the funeral. And for other krovim, they just tear in that room and then come out. And for other emails, they come out and then tear, which is exactly this thing. Hey, it's mutter to tear in public either way, right? Yeah. You're allowed to tear in public shark crow, you're not allowed to tear in private for Aviv Ve'imo. You're dollar, another
what if a person is tearing the shots, you get a phone call?
No, so I assume that's only if there is a crowd available. Yeah, you're dollar. I'll call me some rotsa career beyad, rotsa career bekli. I love Ve'imo beyad. Right, other masonry are allowed to use a kli, but Avimo has to be dafka biyad, which I guess is more emotional. Just before we, here it gets a little tricky because anyone ever go to the Kotel and try to tear biyad nowadays?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's very, very hard because our clothing is very good quality. So therefore the post can write that you're allowed to, even for Avimo, you're allowed to start with the kli as long as you do most of it biyad. And that's the meaning nowadays that for Avimo, you start with a kli and then you do the rest of the yad. So once you start, the rest is easy. And I mentioned earlier, that goes together with the minhag, that the rabbi starts, then the avil finishes. So the rabbi starts with a razor blade or a scissors or a kli, and the avil finishes by hand. That's our minhag nowadays. What?
By the clothes that you're going with somebody else, would that, would we say that's like you have to have somebody else also cut?
I don't think we're mocked.
You're not allowed to bring any shirt into the closet. So if you start outside the kotel,
the thing
doesn't work. That's not the Indian. First of all, I don't know what the rules are for bringing sharp things to the Kotel Plaza. You don't have to be in the Kotel Plaza to tear Kriya. You tear Kriya when you could see the Harabayas, which is Lahore, before you get to the Kotel Plaza.
All right, wait, let's say.
Now, again, I don't know what you do with your sharp thing when you get into the Kotel.
And then, like, start at home and actually finish the Kriya in the Kotel Plaza?
Maybe, but I don't think it's really true. You can't bring anything sharp into the coastal plaza.
Do that.
Honestly,
what?
I'm a linear.
Do it with a pen or car keys. Or whatever. I mean, take a razor blade and put it in your wallet. And you never put your wallet through the metal detector. And they're not going to check if it's a razor blade or a half shekel coin. And if you say, then what about the security? Someone will have a razor blade in the coattail? I'm just saying, I'm not. If all the terrorists have a razor blade, you'd be in good shape. That's not what we're worried about. You know, no one's going to storm the Temple Mount with an army of razor blades. You know, you don't get much reach. Or whatever. I don't know. My wife has these tiny little fold scissors on her keychain. I don't think we ever stopped her going into the Kotel. You know, the scissors that are this long? Again, could you theoretically, you know, kill someone with those tiny scissors, and it's more likely than the pil shabalak kfifa mitzvah v'kiyo derech beis harei, etc. Yes, but I wouldn't call it dangerous. Okay, so chachamim and brosho. But you got speed.
Using a cell phone on a plane.
Exactly. Okay, continuing your dalit. Alkala mason in bala hachla tol shema yama machla in Korea on all that means. If you want to change your clothes, now again, you can't change to fresh clothes. Okay, you want to change to non-fresh clothes during the Shiva, you can change and you don't have to tear for other krovim. You don't have to tear if you change your clothes, right? This is that big hakira, sort of hefta gavra within clothes of Hiv Gavra to do a Maisa Kriya. The question is, there's also clearly something did in the Hefta. So what's the balance of hefta gavra? Here, clearly, it's not like a nith hakira. And I'll just put all the seafood in there because it's clear that they're both true, right? It's clear that he of Gavra to be Korea because that is Lamed Gimel. If you have a clothing that's already torn, then you're not Yotze and you're even a bad person if you were to the funeral. But it's also clear that besides the Maisa Kriya, you have to leave it torn. That's why you can't sew it up for a certain number of days. Okay, the question, what's the balance of the Chafetz Gavra here? So it's a difference for Avimo versus for Shar Krovim. For Shar Krovim, if you change, it's okay. And for Avimo, if you change, you still have to tear all the layers. And you still can never properly sew it up, just like the first time.
Is there any cure for person sitting on heels for Shark Oven to like not change their clothes?
Good question. Is it like ideal to change your clothes, or is it just a theoretical heter? That is a great question. Give me a second. Yes. It's Sefer Pnei Baruch, that's the art scroll of Avelos, he says usher, and he quotes the Meiri, quotes Yesh Omrim, that it's usher to do it for no reason. So that's a chiddush, and you know, when you have to go to Yesh Omrim the Meiri, it's a bit of a chiddush that you shouldn't change for no reason. But Lamaisa, that's the minig. The minig is that for Shar Krovim, they wear their torn garment the whole Shiva unless there's a reason why they need to change it. Again, I'm not just saying task that way, because most of the mandates for them don't say like the pay. I didn't bring my pay bar. But the mice of the minig is that, you know, we don't change out of the torn clothing into non-torn clothing unless we have a good reason. And adds the Ramah, you can also turn your bag at 180 degrees. Again, with our modern gun, it doesn't always work so well. Only very few gun to turn 180 degrees. Some nowadays, but not most. You could turn it around so the kara is behind you and not visible, which, you know, doesn't really count. Remember, la'acharov on the back of the countless kriya, you're not yotze. So basis, why? Because it's like changing. This is controversial. The Gra in Sukkot Lama Dalit says that's not true. No, if you change, you're not kaya. For other probing, you can't keep the same clothing and turn it around, because that's like erasing the kriya from the same clothing. So we pass like the Gra, and you should not turn it around even for Shar Krovim. By the way, the Indian about starting with a scissors or razor blade and finishing with your hands, you can find the Orch HaShulchan here, Sif Yud Beis, if you want to look it up. Okay, there's a controversial Taz, two things. The Orch HaShulchan has his own sifim. He has his own sifim. He doesn't follow the Sifim HaShulchan. Just there's a controversial Taz, which it's a big machlok to what he meant. I normally don't like this, like sort of cleaning up the Taz to be politically correct, etc. in the new editions, but they actually added parentheses to clarify in my edition. They added the word to Achar Zion, the Taz of Kut and Zion, but I think they're right. The Taz says, if you had clothing that everyone knew you wore before the funeral, you can change into it without Kriya. And no one knows what he means by that. But if you look up, it's going to the Bach, you look up the sources, no, what he means is he's talking about after Shiva. Even after Shiva for Avimo, if it's clothing that he wore during, I think that's what he means. If it's clothing that he wore during the Shiva, even after Shiva, it has to be torn because you're not allowed to sew it up for 30 days. What it means is that after Shiva, there's no Maris Ayin to wear untorn clothing for a V'imo if people know that it's old clothing, like nowadays when people have tons of clothing. Okay, some people don't have that for Zion, they make a big deal. So forget the Kitzer. The Taz have gotten Zion seems to be saying something that's not a Chiddush, although it depends, you know, whether you think, if you mean during Shiva, he can change to clothing that people know was he wore at a previous time, so there's no Maris Ayin, that would be a big Kiddush. Why during Shiva, if there's no Maris Ayin, would he be allowed to wear untorn clothing?
The Pnei Baruch before about the Isra to change for no reason, was there a minhag regarding the other Vimo changing and ripping? Like, should you wear the thing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, everyone does just because why do they want to rip another clothing? because you're not supposed to wear freshly laundered clothing, so what's the point of changing into other dirty clothing?
When you wear it, it's dirty.
Yeah, but most of our VO people don't want to lose money. But I don't think there's, I don't think there anyone would say it's a bit, it's better not to, just you're going to lose money. Okay, someone asked afterwards, what if for of the emo, someone tore their shirt and then puts on a jacket or a sweater or something like that? They didn't change, but they added another layer. So they then have to tear it during Shiva. For Shar Krov Mavadanat, that's Pashat Nat. They tore one layer, even if they switch it, for sure if they add. But what if you add a layer? It's someone's parents, they only wore one layer at the funeral, tore it, and then add another layer. Do they have to tear that or not? That is a big machlok, because again, it's not on the page here. Tzvi Baruch also talks about it. And actually, there's a lot of shonim about this. The Meiri sounds like it's Yechayiv to tear, but the Orchaz Chaim, the Raiv, it sounds like your Pater. The Tzvi Baruch talks about this also in Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf, which is the same place as the Tzvi Baruch. I didn't bring it, sorry, but it's on the shelf. And he say he's machreed that you don't have to tear if you add for parents. If you change for parents, you have to tear. If you add, you don't. Which means that, what? Yes, then you don't have to tear. So, which means that if someone tore the shirt for their parents, and then someone only wore a shirt to the funeral, and then adds a sweater or a jacket, they don't have to tear it. If they switch clothing, they have to tear. But if they add, they don't have to tear. It's not so pasha. Lamaisa, so that's what we're making.
But it's not clothing when involved the chiyuv in the initial kriyas. Why now mad?
Because for parents, if you change yourself, to tear.
But if you wear like a rain jacket or a sweater.
No. Well, assuming that you would have to tear a sweater, right? Or a jacket.
Would that be a good solution for a woman to have her wear in private, wear the tear the. Like one shirt she's wearing or whatever it is, and put on a sweater on top of it.
That could also be a good solution. Yeah. Or then put something else on the top of it. Right. That could also be a good solution. Okay. There could be a lot of solutions if you have enough layers handy. Correct. And she can do it in private. Oh, that's against Yud Gimel B'Fnim, but for Tznius, we're making. Okay. The Tess Vav. Yeah. What? Yes, if you look in the base matters, we have a tall blue book called Divrei Sofrim in some Simchat Sadi Zion. He's a Machre. Tesvav. Al Kala made some sholel, which means Tofer Tfir Bilti Shava, unprofessional stitching. La'achar Shiva, Ma'achar Lakar Soshio. For other Mason, how long the Chefta need to be there? For Shiva, you can't sew it up at all. We assume that means you can't even safety pin it. That's also like sholel. For 7 days, after Shiva, you can sew it up improper. Again, nowadays, we generally throw it in the garbage. But theoretically, you could improperly sew it up after 7 days, and you could properly sew it back together after 30. The ain chilek and pagel and regel low, and it doesn't make a difference if there's a regel. Regel is mevatel avelus. Regel is not mevatel, the shiva and shloshim, for the cheftza of the beged. But of the emo, everything's one step more machber. You can't even be sholel to shloshim, and you can never be ma'acher. But that's all for men. But isha sholel so out of nekvoda, a woman can be sholel right away for kavod, meaning for tznius. Now again, I mean, depending, doesn't mean for no reason. If someone's perfectly tanua, you know, with it ripped the way it is, you know, how many layers, etc., then not. But if it's a case where it's not perfectly tanua, then she can be sholeles le alter. So let's say a woman only has one layer and she doesn't know what to do. If she feels confident that she can tear it and then safety pin in a way that'll be totally tanua, then she should do that. And that's shalel alter b'nei kvoda. Hagav, because man she'asso lishlo filo chaber shukel yin machra. So that's what I just said. During the time it's also be shalel, it's also also safety pin it. Obviously he didn't have safety pins. He just means pins. He meant non-safety pins. You know why they called safety pins? Because a regular pin, you stick a pin through, and then you could, whenever you're wearing that, the pin could prick you. A safety pin, you stick a pin through it, and then it can't prick anyone because it's covered by that thing. It's brilliant. It's really, whoever meant the safety pin is like mamish me, you know, one of the tzaddikim of human history. Because in the old days, it was really hard. Whenever you pinned anything, you would get pricked. Okay. Any case, so you're not even safety pin counts as shulam. The yesh begom shenog lahachmir filo shar meishim shul lishol tok shloshim va'azav filo roshakriya asol chavli yimach. And in some places, the minhag is that even for shar krovim, they aren't sholel for 30 days, and then they're also not allowed safety pen. I don't think we're those places, but again, we throw it out anyway, so I don't know what the big deal. You know, I don't know how much of an afkamina it is. Now, here you have a few big machlokos. Here you have a few big machlokos, or let's say one. What's the big chiddush of the Ramah here? Ein chiluk and pogam em a regel olov. Regel is mevatel shiva, regel mevatel shulshim. But regel is not mevatel the chetz shel kriya. Still have to wait for shim and shulshim. Now, the Rebbe Akiva Eger points out that there's funny math in Avelis. Anyone ever encounter the funny math in Avelis? Right? What's the funny math in Avelis? Let's say someone buries their relative on Chavtes Elul by Yud Beis Tishrei, 30 days have passed. Because Chavtes Elul counts as 37 days, and Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days, and then in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur counts as 7 days, and then Yom Kippur counts as 7 days, and then 2 more days. Okay, Rekiva Anger points out here that everyone agrees you could use funny math. Like, it does make a difference if it's a regel, because regel counts as more days than it really is. Okay, we'll get that. There's a whole set of definitions inside the test. You don't have to do that now. Just know where Rekiva Anger points out, don't take the Ramah literally. It makes a difference if there's a regel, because the regel changes the math. And days count as more days than you think. But what does Ramah mean? He means regel doesn't cancel it, right? Even though regel cancels the same person, buried Erev Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva. Someone buried their brother Erev Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva. That doesn't mean they can be sholem. Yom Kippur cancels Shloshim. That doesn't mean they can be ma'acher, or you know, whatever the case may be. It's not so pashut. Okay, now who argues on the Ramah? The Shach. Says the Shach of Dalet, it's a little funny to read the Shach. He says, oh, of course, you could be Sholel right before the Regal, because the Regal is Mavatel. What do you mean? That's against the Ramah. So you have to go on to Chafei, where he says, he has 20 lines, he says, I'm against the Ramah, the Ramah is dead wrong. Okay, this is a very, very fundamental machlokas. This machlokas, Shach and Ramah, is a super duper fundamental machlokas. The Ramah is based on Rav Yah, who says the regal mevatel avelus, but it's not mevatel kriya. Mevatel avelus, but not kriya. And he says, where is that based on? What's Rav Yah based on? The Gemara says, avelus l'chud u'kriya l'chud. Avelus and kriya are two different mitzvos. It's true, avelus and kriya are two different mitzvos. How do I prove that? The on top of our page, it doesn't say Hilchos Avelos. It says Yerodeish and Mem Hilchos Kriya. I don't know if that's such a good proof, but what's the context of the Gemara? Anyone know the context of the Gemara? What? Exactly. Halach Dibrei Mekel Ba'avel. The special Kula Halach Dibrei Mekel Ka'avel. Ba'avel says the Gemara, we don't have a special Kula Halach Dibrei Mekel Ba'Kriya. Avelos L'chud and Kriya L'chud. So, the Rav Yah and the Ramah understand, what if we have Avelos L'chud and Kriya L'chud? Means obviously there's a lot of overlap. They're both about people dying. You know, obviously there's right. No one needs to say avelus l'chud and bas b'chalav l'chud. Right? Obviously it means they're about the same thing, but they're halachically different concepts. They're halachically of different conceptual structures. That's how the Ramah understood based on Rav Yah. There are different conceptual structures, and therefore regal is mevatel avelus, but it's not mevatel the chefza of kriya, the chiv chefza of kriya. What? Yes. However, the Shach disagrees. The Shach says no. Hadam rina b'shas v'el chuk v'el chora and lomer less bad klod alchli bringing about avel but l'nishar mili ain chiluk and then he brings a right for the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban just says that whoever you're not misabel on, you're not korea for. Well, that's good raya. Getting someone's a person, they're not a person, they're not a person. But what's he saying? Saying that's only chumer v'kula. For chumer v'kula, kriya is more chumer than avelus. Yes, that's true. For chumer v'kula. But for the conceptual structure, they're the same. Just one is more chumer than the other. That's all it means. But l'shand, l'nishar dvarim zevzeh shavim. So this is a fundamental lundish machlokas. The Shach understands that kriya and avelus are the same machayev. Just one is more chumer than the other. While the Ramah understands, no. They are both about death, but they're two different halachic mechayvim.
What's the reason why
like chazal made it. Do we know they're going to speak about it? Like, what this is what are so late, and like, why do we have different rules? Like, if you're gonna go with the Ramal, then it's even more of a question, even if different like conceptual structures. Like, why would chazal made it?
So that is a very, very good question that might depend a little bit on what's the point of Avelus and what's the point of Kriya, right? If we assume, which is not Pasha at all, but if you assume that Avelus Akim covered a mace, then it, maybe the Machlokas depends. I'm speculating because there's no like good, like solid fulcrum around which to pivot here. But if you assume that Avelus is covered a mace, then maybe the Shach would say Kriya is also covered a mace. Therefore, it goes together. Maybe the Rambam would say, no, Kriya is not mitam covered a mace. Kriya is just mitam, you know, expressing sad emotions. After all, you also do Kriya on Shmuel's Rose. But I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. Viker. Tes Zion. Alkola Mason. Rotza cholates. Now, don't get too excited about knowing the halacha ma'isa yet, until we get to the end. Al kol ha'meisim rotza cholates im rotza cholates kasef. Al avimu chayv lachlots kasef. What is lachlots kasef? Okay, the Shintaz points out that there are some misunderstandings. But pshat is, what is cholates kasef? In the old days, let's say someone tore their shirt like this. Then what they would do is they would take their shirt down and bare their shoulder and take their arm out of their shirt. And basically, the shirt would go till here, and the rest of this would be here. Right? What? Yeah, it would be like a ke'ilu, like from here on, you're in a white beater. Right? But it's much more striking. Someone's wearing a white beater, it just looks like it's wearing here. There's like the whole shirt, and it's off your shoulder and your arm. Right? It's really like a tremendous amount of avelus. And in the old days, that was a very, very common thing to do. So on other mesim it's optional, but on the imo it's a chiyuv. B'holei chach lifnei hamita ad shei kaver, and you have to go this way. How long chalitza kasef? Not for shiva, but until burial. During the funeral, you walk chalutze kasef in front of the mita, the bier, until burial. However, if the son is an adam gadol, and it's not kavod, it's a bizarre for him to go chalutze kasef, then he is potter, meaning this is only where appropriate. And I mean, they don't even have to say that the daughter doesn't go chalutze kasef. It's obvious this thing is only for men. It's obvious that the women never did this. Let's continue before we get to halacha lit maaseh. Yodzayin. Nasi doma la'av. L'chalitzas, Nasi is the Nasi Sanhedrin, right? Not Nasi Hamadina. Nasi Sanhedrin. Domal av l'chalitzas kasef l'kromi v'chotz l'ichoy, meaning that you can never be ma'ache. Next, kolakorna chacham shemeis, all kriyas on a chacham, kevi shekstiru p'nei mechor emita sholim. How long is that chef? So as soon as they turn around and start walking home from the funeral, they can be sholim. U'ma'ach l'machar, and all day, they can't be ma'acha, that's tomorrow. V'chacham shmua shmuaso, what if they don't go to the funeral, they just heard? Sholo bo v'yom, okay, right after they hear the shmua, they can do sholo even that day. U'ma'ach l'machar, but still they need one day of the chefza, that it's at least not without ichoy in their ma'acha the next day. V'yal nasi v'arabal mavak, sholo l'machar in ma'acha l'olam, but a nasi v'arabal mavak, they're sholo only the next day, and they're not ma'acha forever. There's no meaning of Shiva here because you don't sit Shiva. So like, there's no point. The day is sort of the equivalent of Shiva. Al chacham cholitz miyamin. For a chacham at the funeral, you cholitz your right shoulder. Ve'al abezi on the abezi into the left shoulder. Ve'al nasi mikan on the nasi sanhedrin, both shoulders. Ve'al av v'yim av rabba mufak. Ratsa mikan v'yim ratsa cholishteyim. You have three options, right, left, or both. And what's the halacha l'maisa on all of this? The halacha l'maisa on all of this is nowadays, we have no minig of chalitz kasef. That's why we've never seen anyone do it. It's not our minig anymore. Already, if it's not lefi chvodo, there is, the Gemara says, that there's no chalitz kasef. And that means that nowadays, that no one does it. It's not necessary. So no one does it nowadays. Yurches. Al kol ha'meisim lo shama el al acher shloshim yom eino korea. On all mason, notice there's two different issues of time delay here. You have to get them straight. What are the two issues? Number one, there was a time delay before you heard that someone died. Or number two, you heard they died, there was a time delay before you got around to doing Kriya. So these are not the same. On all other Mesim, in Lo Shama Lach Shoshu Yonah Kareya, the time delay for Shlua is if you hear within 30 days of death, you tear. If you hear after 30 days, you're Potter. What if someone doesn't have a shirt and only finds one later? Meaning, what if they just don't do Kriya? Toch Shiva Kareya, Ach Shiva Yonah Kareya. Meaning for other Krovin, you only tear if you hear within 30 days. And if you heard and you didn't tear, then only within Shiva. After Shiva, it's too late. But Avimo, both of these are the Olam, meaning someone didn't hear their parent die until 10 years later, they still tear. Or if they heard their parent die, they didn't tear Kriya, even 10 years later, they still have to tear. So let's say someone's parent was, I don't know, behind the Iron Curtain. That was the phrase of my youth. And they only heard 5 years later they died, they still tear Kriya. Or let's say someone wasn't prone, they didn't tear when their parent died. 10 years later, they become from, they still have to tear Kriya. That's a wild thing. A Baal Tshuva, whose parent died, who becomes from and never tore Kriya, has to tear Kriya 10 years later. Often Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if it comes up, because I think even when they weren't from, they probably tore, because that's something not from people do, if they have any Jewish, you know, rabbi at the funeral. But if they were, you know, if they didn't tear Kriya, they still tear. Kol begadav. Again, all the begadav on Shigalas Libo, just like the normal halachos. Okay, the Shach asked, like, how could there be anyone without a shirt? And he gives a few answers. I mean, nowadays, not such a hard question. Where are we? Yotes. Shem sha'achol achos keresh ve'inu v'sa'ache kacha achol la'poch tzad elohim shebegin l'matav l'achos. Okay, so this is my focus on the Gemara. It's an interesting lumbus. You can't totally properly re-sew it. How about if you turn your begad upside down? Again, nowadays you can't turn our shirts upside down, right? But in those days, they could do a lot of things. They were begad and were very pashut, right? Meaning, if your begad is a toga, you could turn it any which way you want, right? Once upon a time, all begad and were togas. It wasn't because they were having a toga party. Because toga parties were dressing like ancient people. And ancient people dressed that way because that's what clothing in the age. Like in the very primitive times, clothings were just rectangles. Like the whole tzitzit idea, toga, etc. It was just rectangles because they were just very primitive and they didn't make it into shirts. I mean, they didn't have the technology. I meant like they didn't, you know, have the luxury to make into shirts. You just took a rectangle and wrapped it around yourself. Maybe that's what they're referring to here. Or, otherwise, I don't know how you turn it upside down. So you can't even turn it upside down and sew it up. Here it's interesting. What's the hakum you can? It seems to be like the hakira is, is it that you have to leave the kara, or just that you can't undo the tearing? If you say, yeah, I can't undo the tearing, that as long as it's on top, I can't undo the tearing, but I've turned it to the bottom. At the bottom, it's not a chalos kriya anymore. So now if I sew it up, I'm not undoing the kriya, because there's no chalos kriya at the bottom. But we paskin, no, it's not just that you can't undo the maisa kriya. It's that you have to keep the chetza of beged karua. And therefore, no matter which way you turn it, you cannot sew it up. And that's what we say. So the Taz here has a big machlokas achronim. What if you cut out that whole square and replace it with another square fabric? Throw that square in the garbage. Someone tore their clothing. You know, the tear goes down, I don't know, 10 inches. So they just cut out that 10-inch by 3-inch piece of cloth. Throw that in the garbage without ever fixing it and put a new 10-inch by 3-inch piece of cloth. So they save the rest of the garbage. Can they do that? Again, I can't imagine anyone doing that nowadays. But that's a tremendous, once upon a time, this is obviously a very lamaisa big issue because this is a tremendous machlokas. Achronim says the Taz here. It's mutter, Taz, and he also quotes his father-in-law, the Bach, saying that it's mutter, but says the Pesach Tshuva and Tess, that the Rebbe Yosef said it is usher against the Taz. And the Beis David apparently agreed with him. Okay, there's many, all the Achronim weigh in on this. The truth is that most Achronim, I think, were like the Taz and said it was Mutter, but again, it's not Halacha Maisa, no one would do it nowadays anyway. I can't imagine why would ever be just like why anyone would want to do it nowadays. Let's continue though. So even if you sell it to someone else, the buyer is now letter re-sew it properly. Therefore, you have to tell him, you should know I tore this on my parent, and you're not allowed to sew it up. Okay, therefore, if I ripped clothing, I can't sew it up because I have to suspect that maybe it was on the guy's parents. Why do I have to suspect that it was on the guy's parents? So the first thing is like, because why would he sell it to me without sewing it up first? Wouldn't he make more money if he sewed it up first? Must be because it's his parents. So if you buy ripped clothing from Yid, you have to suspect that it was from their parents and you can't sew it up. And I can't even sell my ripped clothing to a guy. Why? The Gemara assumes. You can't sell anything to a guy that would be usher for a Jew because the guy might resell it to the Jew. Unless it's something you don't buy from a guy. I can sell wine to a guy because no Jew's going to buy the wine from the guy. But I can't sell. I can't sell this garment to the guy because he might sell it to a Jew. Okay, interesting. The Shach is 2 days. Hold on. If anyone who buys can't sew it up, why do you have to tell him that it's from your parents? He's not going to sew it up anyway. And he has two answers. Either you have to tell him for Choshen Mishpat, just to make sure you're not ripping him off and that he's not, or you have to tell him because maybe he doesn't know the halacha and he's going to sew it up. Who says everyone knows halacha? Okay, but in any case, not all these things are much more theoretical for us nowadays. We live in a different social reality. Hakoreh mitoch hamelo, mitoch hashelo, mitoch halikud, mitoch sulamas lo yatza. But mitoch ichoy alexandri, dayot tfir, she shavu malo b'lez v'mata yatza. Basically, sholel does not count good as new. So if someone was sholel and then someone else died and they tore that, it doesn't count as tearing because it's still torn from the last time. Only if you ichoy, which is proper sewing up. If you tear something that was properly sewn up, that's like curing a real bag. If you tear something that was improperly sewn up, that's as if you didn't tear anything that's already torn. And one of these examples, sholel, it's not really so important. Sholel means you like twist the two sides together and then put some stitches through. Molel means you put stitches through, but the stitch, like normal stitching, is like every like 5 millimeters, another stitch. Here's like a stitch, it goes 2 inches, it goes in, goes 2 inches out, 2 inches in, 2 inches out. So it's broad stitches that don't do a good job. Likut means you bunch it together and then sew it. And sulamos means you put a stitch here, leave some space, put a stitch here, leave some space, put a stitch here, leave some space. It doesn't really matter that much. This is only Taz or Shach or someone here. But ichoy, Nir says, what's ichoy? What's ichoy? By the way, the same getter as what you're not allowed to do in if tesvav is the same getter of ichoy and shlila as to what would count as tearing in sif chaf. Here we have machlokes. What's ichoy alexandri? Right? Someone proved to me what Alexandria meant to Chazal. It means Alexandria in Egypt. What is it? What do they always mean when they talk about Alexandria? They mean top quality workmanship. Right? All over Shas, what do we find? Where did Nicanor go to get his stuff? His doors? Right? Mishnah Yoma? Right? When they wanted to fire the Beis Avtinos and where did they bring new top skilled workers from? Alexandria. Okay, Ich Alexandria means, in modern day issues, you'd say Schmitz. Schmitz sewing up, right? Alexandria was obviously in the Middle East, again, I don't know what it was like in Europe, but in the Middle East, Alexandria was the city with the most Schmitz technology. So Ich Alexandria, I don't know what the equivalent would be nowadays, Ich Alexandria, that counts as good as new. What is Ich Alexandri? Is a big machlokes rishonim. And I must admit, I don't really understand everything all the achronim are the examples they're giving here when the Shach says, oh, it's like they do the Batei Shokayim. I don't have a good chush for exactly what they mean, but I understand the rishonim. What's the machlokes rishonim by Ich Alexandri? Basically, we'll just give two pshatim. The Ravid and the Rush say that it means on one side it looks smooth, but it sticks out on the bottom. Like it looks smooth on top and sticks out on the bottom. That's Kikri Alexandri. And like, I don't know. I'm not going to take off my pants now. You know, right here, see this, the seam of my pants? It looks pretty smooth. If you look on the bottom, you see it was sticking out, right? That's, for the Rebbe, that's Ichul Alexandri. But the Ramban says, no, Ichul Alexandri is much better than that. For that, you don't need Ichul Alexandri. Ichul Alexandri means what we call reweaving. You can actually do that. There are people who do that. Very skilled people, if you tear your suit pants down to the seam, they'll make it look mamish, like one piece of fabric, the cloth. It's expensive, but maybe that's what they did in Alexandria. He says, no, shoving la lamata, you know, it looks good from both sides, or maybe something else. Again, the shahlo kind of descriptions, I don't know exactly what it was like. Lamaisa, what is the Mechaber Paskin? Tfir she shoving la lamata yotza. He said, nope, if it's smooth on one side, even if it sticks out on the bottom, smooth on top, even if it sticks out on the bottom, that counts as Ichri Alexandria. Not everyone agrees to that. If you look in the Gra here, it says the Gra, he says, no, it means reweaving. Ke'orig. It looks like it was woven that way. Your mamas can't see anything. I don't know exactly what he means, but he means like mamish, it looks like one piece.
Isn't it in order to allow a nuclear?
Yeah. So lemaisa, it's a machlokas. It's not such an afkmina for us anyway, but lemaisa, it's a machlokas, and pashas, we should be machmer, but it's not lemaisa anyway. Okay, chaval. Karal amesu mesu mesu acher, toch sheva, lo alein. Right? Korea kera acher. If someone is sitting shiva for their brother and their sister dies, then during shiva, they have to make a new kriya. La acher shiva mosu v'kera rishon kol shehu. Okay. What do we see from here again? This is a whole lambda, so they directly chetzik avra. Apparently, you don't need to tear a tefach because you can be mosif kolshu. As long as you do a maisa kriya and it ends up in the chetz of a tefach, that's good enough. Even if all you did was add a kolshu, you need a maisa kriya to add a kolshu. You don't need to add another tefach. But that depends if it's within shiva or not within shiva. Why? Because within shiva, since there's an ister of sholel, then you still need the chetzer for the brother. You can't use the same chetzer for the brother and the sister, so you need a new kara. After shiva, when you're allowed to be sholel, then you don't, even though you're not in acha, you don't need the chetzer for the brother anymore, so now you can use it for the sister. That seems to be the logic. In any case, whatever the logic is, say whatever lomdus you want, the halacha is very clear. Toch shiva, he has to make a new kara. After shiva, he could just add a kolshu. And if a third relative died, lo aleinu, after the shiva of the second, you can add another kol shu. Okay, here the shach says something which, in the name of the Bach, which I don't really understand the svara. He says, what if someone tore for their brother, 5 days later their sisters died, they tore a new kriya. 5 days later, their son died. Now I would have said, they can't add a kol shu to the second one, it's only 5 days later. They can add a kol shu to the first one because it's 10 days later. He says, no, it's all like mitzura, and you can't even add a kol shu to the first one. So the shach says, I don't understand the svara, but who am I to argue on the shach? And he also quotes the Bach. Anyway, lemaisa, that's the halacha. What does it mean, a new kera? What are the two ways you can make a new tier, the poskim say? What are the two options? If it's during shavim, you make a new kriya. What are the two options for what's a new kriya? What are the two ways to make a new kriya? Either you go down another tefach from the same tier, that counts as a new kriya, or you go three etzbos at least sideways and then tear another tefach. Can't be two etzbos sideways. That doesn't count. It's too close. So either go a tefach lower or go sideways at least three etzbos and then start again. V'chein mos v'holech, you can keep adding to crime. Antabur, until your belly button. Below your belly button counts as like so close to the bottom of the shirt that it's not a mukum kriya anymore. Higilatabur, machshol shosbos for kriya. What if someone has a million relatives, they keep dying, so they tear it, they keep adding it to their belly button. So now they go three as well sideways and start again and can go down to their belly button. It's about the fun. And what if the whole front of their shirt is all down to their belly button at intervals of three as well? Again, I don't know how many relatives this person had in the first place. Then machzir lachorus. So then they turn backwards, and then they have a whole new part of their shirt. Nismali milamala, pofkolamata. The whole top is filled up. They turn it upside down. Nismali mikano lakan. Obviously, this is a person in the old days who couldn't afford a new shirt, right? Nismali nasi mshein lochol chein ukareya. Ah, what if mamas every possible place that could be torn is already torn? Again, I'm not sure this person has so many relatives. But whatever, you could have some scenario. I'm sure you could come up with something. Or whatever, like someone tore a lot and then all he could afford to buy, his shirt got burnt and he could only afford to buy this shirt. The other guy already tore a lot. Then he tore it more and then whatever. Lemaisa, if after all this, he's still wearing the shirt and another relative dies, he's butter because he's shirtless halachically.
If you hear him saying, if you have two will die at the same moment.
That's the next sif. I lied. It's two sifim. Okay, let's just, I don't know if we'll get there. Chaf, beis. Amru, this is a big, big, big machlokas. Amru lo. But I'll just, let's cheat for a second. Chaf gimel, mishamesh lo shnei meisim ke'echad, o shabal o shmu mishnaim ke'echad, kare kri achas al shneim. Someone hears at the same time the two relatives died, then he can only do one kriya for both of them. Unfortunately, this happens sometimes. People have a levaya where there's a car crash or a terrorist attack, and more common, a car crash, and a lot of people from family die, unfortunately. It's not an uncommon thing. So they only have to do one kriya for all of that, at least for brothers and sisters, for siblings and spouses and kids. That's the answer to your question. Parents make it more complicated. The chaf beis, amru lo. Amr lo meis aviv, v'kara, v'achar shiva meis beno, v'hosif. First his father died, and he did kriya. Then after shiva, his son died. So now he's allowed to just meosif kolshu. Mis'acha tachton v'lo ha'elyon. That's just logic. The bottom part is mis'acha after 30 days, so it's for his son. The top part is not, ever, because it's for his father. Amr lo meis beno, v'kara, v'achar shiva meis aviv, ain't a mosif. You don't have a case where you can combine them, right? If his son died, he tore tefach. Then a week later, his father died. Then he can't add and go to his heart. Elo korea kriya acheres. He has to do entirely new kriya shein of the imut sefes. You can't add for your parents. You have to start and do the whole thing for your parents. This is a tremendous machlokas. Let's learn Kaf Gimel and okay. What? No, Chavdal is something totally different. Really, this all comes originally from Kaf Gimel, right? One second. Yeah. What if a lot of relatives died at once? Rachman al Tzad. Remember, everything is low lane in Rachman al Tzad. That goes for the whole year. What if a lot of relatives died at once? What's the brisa? You know what? Is everyone ahead of me in Seder? Okay. You are. No one else is ahead of me in Seder. Okay, you know what? It's going to just, it'll be late by the time we chazer, because even some svaras here. So let's stop. We'll say we're in between Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel. We haven't properly understood the interaction between them. And we'll pick up with this Mirtz Hashem on Sunday. Let's pick up on Sunday. On Sunday, I must admit that at a certain point, this simon starts going very fast. Basically, after this simon goes very fast. Except for one part. Yeah, except for one inyan I want to get into. After this, the simon goes very fast, so I'm going to get into Shin Mem Aleph. Shin Mem Aleph is not so many pages in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's very, very dense. Tons and tons of Alech HaLamaisa. That's both on the daf and off the daf. You could just see this, you know, the relative size of the Piskei Tshuvas, for example, on Shin Mem Aleph. We'll finish up the simon, and we'll start Shin Mem Aleph on Sunday. But there's so many details of Shin Mem Aleph that however far you know, as long as you start Shin Mem Aleph, then there's just a gazillion Halach HaLamaisa details that are some many of them off the page. So don't worry, don't be stressed. Okay.